Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
You know that the farmer who labors is the first partaker of the crops. A lot of people don't understand that, but what Paul is telling Timothy is before you go give to others, you've got to receive for yourself. Oh, it's going to be one of those days, because if you think that is a controversial statement, you better buckle up. In order for me to feed you, I got to eat. It's the truth. I have to receive ministry just like I give ministry. Otherwise, I don't have anything to give. Whether it's just me spending time with the Lord and the scriptures, or whether I'm listening to other people preach sermons, I got to eat. And I can't just eat once a week. People think that they can come to church one day a week and that's the only spirituality that they deal with for the entire week, and they think they can live a healthy life. You can't do it. You're starving to death. You wonder why things are just so chaotic and out of control. It's because you're starving. You got to eat every day, unless you're fasting. And fasting God is not good. If you're fasting God, then you must be fasting for the devil. Because you're not fasting for God if you're fasting God. Now, we can put aside food to draw near to God. That's a good thing. I'm going to talk about seeking God today. I could talk about a lot of things. We'll just see where it goes. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start there. 2 Timothy 2. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor in Ephesus. Some people believe the church in Ephesus was about 25,000 people. The apostle John attended church there. Now, can you imagine Timothy being a young man, being John's pastor? That had to be intimidating. And the church was in a lot of turmoil. There were a lot of people going and a lot of people coming. And there was teachers that were coming and going, leaving the church. And if you've ever pastored, when people leave the church, it's just almost impossible to not feel somewhat responsible. And so Paul wrote these two letters to encourage Timothy and try to get the young man to just keep going after God. Do what I tell you, he says more than once. He said, this charge I give to you, this command I give to you, Timothy, just do what I tell you to do. And so he's talking to him here in the second chapter. He said, remember Yeshua the Messiah. Remember Jesus the Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel, in which I suffered trouble like a criminal, even with chains. But the word of God is not bound. Fabian talked about that Wednesday night. Even though Paul was in prison in Rome, the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not chained. Hallelujah. And Fabian was trying to encourage us. I mean, this guy is in one of the most dangerous places in the world for a Christian to be. And he is fearless. He understands he may not live a very long life. But that's not his goal. Remember what he told us? He said, I don't want to live a long life. He said, I want to live a full life. Jesus didn't live a long life, but he lived a full life. And so even though some of the things are really difficult and struggles, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, we can't allow that to hinder us or cause us to lose hope or lose heart or lose sight. I believe everything that's been happening to us as a congregation only points to the reality we're going in the right direction. Resistance is not a bad thing. Paul is in chains in prison for the horrendous offense of preaching the gospel. That's the only reason he's in jail. He's preaching, you don't have to be circumcised to be right with God. All you need is faith in Christ, faith and faith alone. Well, we're going to throw you in jail for that. And where Fabian is at, they will cut your head off for that. And he stands on the street corners preaching the gospel in broad daylight with no fear. Therefore, and this is the first controversy, because I didn't think that first statement was controversial. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Messiah Yeshua with eternal glory. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Messiah Yeshua with eternal glory. And I think we can get a little bit of clarity on that. I'm going to read it out of a different translation. In Colossians chapter 1, and I've read people that said this is one of the most difficult verses in all of Scripture to understand. Colossians 1 and 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have read that for years and wondered, what in the world is he talking about? And I believe this is what Paul is saying. I believe he's telling us, yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world. No doubt about it. Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient for all mankind to be saved. It's only by the blood of Jesus that anybody is right with God. But Paul is telling us, in order for some people to get saved, some of us are going to have to go through some things. In order for some people to get saved, somebody's got to be willing to suffer. Charles Finney was one of the greatest evangelists that the world has ever known. And a lot of people know, and some don't, there was a man by the name of Father Nash. And he would take a like-minded brother or two, and he would go into the city where Finney had scheduled an evangelistic meeting. And Father Nash and a brother or two would go into a rented room, and they would lay in the floor sometimes for 2 weeks. No food, no water. They would groan, and they would travail, and they would cry out to God for 2 weeks for that city. And Finney would come, and thousands would get saved. When Father Nash died, Finney stopped holding his evangelistic crusades because the effectiveness vanished. Because the thing that made Father Nash, or the thing that made Finney successful, was Father Nash's willingness to go against the portals of hell and overcome and prevail in intercessory prayer until the Spirit of the Lord was free to come and move in that city. Because people have strongholds in their lives, and somebody's got to do something about it. Jesus paid the price. The price is paid. But who is going to take up the mantle? Who is going to pull the sword? Who is going to take the shield of faith? Who is going to combat the powers of darkness in order for the glorious light of the gospel to be shed forth? Somebody has to do it, or it's not going to get done. And I believe that's what Paul is saying. I'm willing to go through whatever I got to go through. in order to write all the books of the New Testament so that thousands of years after I'm gone, somebody can still pick up the book. Somebody can still turn to the page. I'm willing to be in a prison in Rome. I'm willing to be chained. I'm willing to be persecuted. I'm willing to go through whatever I got to go through. It makes no difference to me. I'm willing to suffer in my flesh. I'm willing to fill up the affliction of Christ in my flesh in order that the church be saved. Hallelujah. Oh. I think that's what's going on. You want to know why we're going through all that we're going through? I believe this church has marched into new ground in the enemy's camp, and he is fighting us tooth and toenail. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to knock us off. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to get us to stop. I think he's on his knees going, stop! We just keep saying, no casualties. Well, it looks like they're dying. The Lord said, no casualties. That's the word of the Lord. That's what we've been standing on. And again and again and again, nobody dies. Even though it looks like they should. I've seen people that were dead that look better than some of y'all through the last couple of years. But you pulled out of it every time. Hallelujah. I've been with this girl since she was 17 years old. That is hard to imagine for me that we are as old as we are. But then I go to the mirror and I go, yep, you are. And that is why I was so concerned when she was going through what she was going through, because in all of those 40 years of being with her, I had never seen her do the things that she was doing. It didn't look good. I mean, I could talk to her and she would just like stare right through me. She didn't hear a word that I would say. And it was like she couldn't understand the language that I was talking in. I wasn't speaking in tongues. She didn't know where she is at. She didn't know what she was doing. She's fallen down. I mean, this girl used to cheer on the basketball team, football team. She cheered for everything. And she'd take off running and start doing backflips. Do them all the way across the gym floor. And my girlfriend would get so mad at me because I would just watch her. Eventually, I traded mine in for her. Kathy said, I was out of my mind for a little while, but I came around. I believe that's what Paul's talking about. He said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation, which is in Messiah Yeshua, with eternal glory. So you're just filling up the afflictions of Christ. Don't think anything else of it. Why are we going through this? Because we're going to see the lost running. We're going to see people running to salvation. We're going to see what God said would happen. He said, we're going to see the things that they saw at Azusa. That's what the Lord said. He told us to write a book. And we've got a couple of people that we probably could write a book just about those two people. So we know some of the people are going to have chapters in the book. But we've got a book of miracles that God has done. Amazing miracles, one after another after another. And if we're not careful, it's easy to overlook that. But we shouldn't, because that's just the beginning of the book. God wants us to record all of these things because he wants the glory for what he's doing. This is a faithful saying, Paul said, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. That should be sobering. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul told him, he said, remind them of these things, commanding them before the Lord that they not argue about words. We're not called to be arguers or debaters. If you disagree with me today, I'm not going to debate you. It's all right if you don't believe everything like I believe. It is not going to bother me in the least. I'm going to keep praying for you, loving you. I'm not going to be mad at you. He said, study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But avoid profane, foolish babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. There's just some things that we just need to not say. And if you have questions about things, when we're in a corporate setting, that is not the time to ask questions about controversial things, because all that's going to do is cause problems. You go to one of the elders, you go to Pastor or Kathy or myself, you go to somebody that you trust and you just ask them. And if they're honest and they don't know, that's what they're going to say. I don't know, but I'll do my best to figure it out. I'll pray about it. I'll get in the Word. And there's some things that people have questions about that nobody's ever going to know the answer to. Deuteronomy 29 and 29, the things that are revealed belong to us. The things that are hidden belong to God. God didn't reveal everything. There's people that will get their panties in a wad over end time theology. And for 2,000 years, nobody has known how it's going to wind up at the end of the age. And they're not going to. Nobody's going to know exactly how it's going to wind up. And I've watched people, prominent preachers. I watched one guy hit the pulpit and he said, if Jesus doesn't come to get me before the tribulation, I'm not going. I thought, you're an idiot. And if I told you his name, you would all know it. I saw him do it with my own eyes. I want to go pre-tribulational. I believe pre-tribulational rapture. I hope for pre-tribulational rapture. People say you're an escapist. Yes, 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 and amen. I do not want to be here when the wrath of God is poured out on the earth. It ain't going to be good. Jesus said, pray that you're counted worthy to escape the wrath to come. I'm into that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So anybody wants to go through the tribulation, well, I just need to work some things out. What, like breathing? Because it's going to be costly to make it through the tribulation. I don't want to be here. But that's what he's talking about. Don't get in a fight about that. Don't get in a fuss about controversial things. It's not necessary. That's what a couple of guys in Paul's day, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they had erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred. And they overthrew the faith of some. But the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. See, it doesn't even matter if people preach in error, say things in hypocrisy, say things that are ungodly and unholy. The truth of God's foundation will stand firm. The foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are His. And let everyone who calls on the name of Messiah depart from iniquity. In a large house, and here's the main place that I'm wanting to go today. There are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay. Some are for honor and some are for dishonor. one who cleanses himself from these things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. This is what I want to talk about for the most part this morning. In a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but there are also those of wood and clay. Some are for honor, and some are for dishonor. One who cleanses himself from those dishonorable things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, made holy, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. That's what we're shooting for this morning. We want to be these people. And Paul is talking to Timothy because Timothy's a minister, but I believe this is a house full of ministers. I believe it's a house full of leaders. I believe that's the main thrust of what we have here right now is leadership that God has been preparing for a move of God. I believe that. He's gonna do something here that we're gonna see things like they saw at Azusa. One prophetic word is that what God does here will make Pensacola pale in comparison. And when God said that, I thought that's just not possible. But the longer I'm in this, the more I realize if God begins a move here that lasts 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 years, it will far excel what God did at Pensacola. The Moravian prayer movement lasted well over 100 years. There's a revival in Argentina right now that's been going over 30 years. So you see a move of God that lasts over 30 years, that's significant. And that's what we've always prayed here. We always prayed, God, we want you to come. We don't want you to come in visitation. We want you to come in habitation. And one of the prophetic words that God spoke over this house, Brother Carroll gave it to us. We were standing down at the old building that we were in a line. There were several of us against the wall over there. And Brother Carroll administered and Kathy and I were there. And Carroll told us, and Carroll's given us about 7 prophetic words in the almost 30 years we've been here. And every one of them have been extremely accurate. And he told us, he said, the Lord said, I'm coming by here one more time. Don't let me leave. It's exactly what we've been praying. Habitation. Well, we're going to have to do what is necessary for him to stay. Now, in order for him to stay, man cannot be glorified. It's not the way it works. When God begins to move, you know how, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal movement, you know how things are. I mean, television stations want you to come and be a part. I mean, I could name shows that very likely they're going to invite people to come and be a part of the show. And it is so easy to begin to start feeling like we had something to do with it. When in reality, all God is asking us to do is obey Him, be willing to go through whatever He has us go through, endure, persevere, and just do what He tells us to do. We're just His servants. And if we ever lose focus of that, we have problems. If it ever becomes about a man, that's why I, for 20, I don't even know how long it's been now, 27 years. People say, well, I'm going to go to Barry's church. And I immediately correct that. If this is my church, we ain't got nothing. If this house does not belong to Jesus, we have nothing. This is God's house. It's not your house. It's not my house. It's His house. And he said, my house should be called a house of prayer. So that's one of our positions of obedience is to pray. There's never been a great move of God except God's people pray. So we have to pray. We have to endure. We have to overcome. We have to be willing to suffer in our bodies in order to see what God said would happen. Because the devil is not going to take it laying down. You're going to have to stomp him down. And in order to do that, you're going to get stomped occasionally. Well, he's under my feet. Well, he'll kick the bottom of your feet. He doesn't take it lightly or easily, especially when he's been in control for so long. I don't want to talk about him. I want to talk about Jesus. And God tells us that we've got to cleanse ourselves. This is not salvation. This is sanctification. And people believe, some people believe, that sanctification is a one-time event like salvation, but I do not believe that. I don't believe that at all. It certainly has not been the case in my life. God has just progressively removed things over the last 30 years and made me more like his son. And it's not been fun. It's not been easy because my flesh goes kicking and screaming every step of the way. And Paul even went to the extreme of saying, I buffet my body daily. I die daily. Paul said, every day I got to get up and crucify my flesh. Because our flesh, according to Galatians 5, wars against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And the works of the flesh are manifest, and Paul lays them out there in Galatians 5, and then he lays out the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is love and goodness and kindness and faith and meekness. And in order for us to be useful to God, we've got to be willing to walk in the fruit of the Spirit instead of the lust of the flesh. We've got to be willing to cleanse ourselves from everything that is dishonorable. And I do not believe for an instant that you can do this without the Lord. And he is not talking about salvation here. He is not talking about salvation. I don't want anybody to be confused about that. He's not talking about what it takes to make heaven. That's not what the Lord is talking. Salvation is a free gift. You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. You can't do nothing about getting saved except receive the gift. That's how you get saved. But in order to be useful to God, Paul gives Timothy some very clear instructions. In a great house, there's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. There's the best china and there's trash cans. Now you can be a trash can and make heaven. But if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to be the fine china. If you're going to be of God, you've got to be made out of gold and silver, things that are precious, things that are valuable. And in order for that to happen, you're going to have to put off the things that make trash cans. You're going to have to quit receiving the things that trash cans receive. There's a whole bunch of trash out there. Your television is filled with it. Your computer's filled with it. Your phone's filled with it. A lot of your workplaces are filled with it. And when the trash starts flowing, if you want to be used of God, you got to walk away. I'm telling you, if they're telling dirty jokes and you're sitting there listening to it thinking this is good, you're just a trash can. You're just opening yourself up to trash. It's not going to work if you want to be used of God. And I believe most of the people here, God is going to use you. And so one of the things we've got to do is we got to quit being trash cans. And I know people, you know, we don't really know about some of this stuff. And so I'm going to break open a little bit of controversy here. In Acts, I believe it's chapter 8. Philip Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches the gospel. And there was a sorcerer there named Simon. And the Bible says Simon believed and he was baptized. That's what it says. Now, there's people that will say Simon wasn't saved, but I don't see that. What did Jesus say in Mark 16? He that believes and is baptized, Simon believed, the Bible says it. Verse 13 in chapter 8, even Simon himself believed, and he was baptized. And he continued with Philip, and he was amazed at the miraculous signs and wonders that God wrought at Philip's hands. The disciples at Jerusalem heard that the revival was breaking out in Samaria, and so they sent the apostles. And when the apostles went, they started laying hands on believers, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit fell on him, on them, as he did in Acts chapter 2. And it doesn't say, but it's real likely there was tongues, prophecy. There was probably signs. We don't know for sure, but almost everywhere we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's evident. And so something happened because Simon said, I want to buy that gift that you have so when I lay hands on people, they receive the Holy Ghost just like they do when you pray for them. And Peter has this really sweet thing that he says to Simon. Peter said, may your money perish with you because you thought you could purchase the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor share in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. And in some translations put in this matter. Therefore, repent of your wickedness and ask God if perhaps the intentions of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are bitterly envious and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon said, pray for me that these things don't happen. That was probably a wise thing to do. Now, we know that Philip was not casual in how he baptized people because just shortly after this, he meets the Ethiopian eunuch and he preaches the gospel. Not from the New Testament, from the book of Isaiah and the prophets. And he preaches Jesus. They come to a place of water. The Ethiopian says, what would hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, you may if you believe with all your heart. And he said, I believe. And they got down and he baptized him in water. And the Ethiopian went on his way. The Bible says he was rejoicing. So I believe the same thing happened to Simon. But he still had issues. There's a lot of people that are born again that still have issues. In a great house, there are vessels of gold and silver, and there are vessels of wood and stubble. There are precious things, and there are trash cans. Now, if you want to be used of God, you've got to do what it takes to no longer be a trash can. And I don't think that you can do all that by yourself. I believe it will be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But I believe the Bible teachers that say this, God will not do it without you, and you cannot do it without God. We have to submit and surrender to this thing called sanctification. We have to be willing to let God do. What did James say in chapter 4? Let's go there. Because unless you're willing to quote it all, we're going to read it. And like I told y'all last week, his name is really Jacob. but somebody thought James was a good name. In verse 5 of chapter 4, he said, do you think that the scripture says in vain he yearns jealousy for the spirit that lives in us? The Holy Spirit is jealous for our spirit. And if our spirit is corrupted by our flesh, and it can happen, if we have an evil heart of unbelief, it can cause us to depart from the living God. Hebrews, the entire book of Hebrews, is an encouragement and exhortation to a bunch of Jews that are considering walking away from their salvation in Jesus and to take up Judaism again. Because walking with Jesus has been too hard. They've been persecuted. They've been ridiculed. Everything they owned was stolen from them once, and it was happening again, and they don't want to go through this anymore. Anybody following Jesus went through some hard things and it crossed your mind, this is really hard. I hope it's worth it. The Spirit yearns jealousy for the Spirit that lives in us, but He gives more grace. For this reason, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to dejection. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. There comes a time if we want to get out of the trash can, if we want to get the trash can out of us, if we want to get this mess that we're messing with to get off ourselves and off our life and out of us so we can be vessels of honor so God can use us any way He wants, anyhow He wants, anytime He wants. We are usable to God. Then there's going to come a time that we have to weep and mourn and lament and say, God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm ready to get rid of this stuff, God. I've been packing this thing around for 30 years and I'm just not willing to pack it around anymore. I'm telling you, if you will get serious with God, He will get serious with you. It is not about coming to an altar and telling God, God, I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to try really hard this time. That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for a humble heart that will say, God, I can't do this without You, but I know You want it out of my life, and I submit myself to You, God. I humble myself under Your mighty hand, God, and we weep and mourn and lament. Our hearts are broken over this thing, and God will set us free. I told you, I battled addiction my entire life. I don't know why. I don't know if when I was born that some demon came and got on me as a baby. I don't know. I don't understand. You know, they call it an addictive personality. I don't understand where that comes from. Other than hell. I don't know the dynamics of it. But I assure you it's not the Holy Spirit. And then I tear my back up. I ain't done no drugs since God saved me in 93. And in 2000 I hurt my back. And for 3 days I'm rolling around in the floor. No sleep. Crawl to the bathroom, crawl up on the toilet, scream and moan and yell the whole time I'm sitting there because it is so painful. 3 days, 72 hours. I'm supposed to preach on a Sunday morning. I'm still rolling in the floor. Kathy, I told her, I said, I just can't do this anymore. You got to take me to the hospital. She takes me to the hospital. They give me a shot of Demerol. They give me a bottle full of pills. And there we go again. There we go again. And for the next 20 years, I wept and mourned and lamented. I told Brother Roy, I can't tell you how many times I had told Brother Brian, all the guys that knew me, I would tell them, I said, I'm sick of these pills. You got to help me. I'm talking 20 years. 3 back surgeries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm driving to my doctor's appointment to pain management. And Holy Spirit speaks to me. He said, you can have the pills or you can have the power, but you can't have both. I'm right there at the turnoff on Highway 20 to Bull Creek. I pulled down that road. I backed up in a little road and I just put my truck in park. And me and the Lord had a talk. I told him, I said, you know I can't do this. You know I can't do this without you. You know how I am. I don't understand it. I do not understand me. But I've battled addiction my whole life. And you know, God, you know I can't do this without you. And I'm crying. And I feel his presence. I pull out of there and I turn around and I go home. That was, I don't know, it's been a while back. It's been going on a year. Now, if God will help me put the pills down, and I believe he has, he'll help you put down whatever you need to put down. I don't know what you're dealing with. What is it that is dishonorable that's in your life? I don't know. I don't want to know unless you call me and say, you got to pray for me because I can't get rid of this thing. I will pray for you. I know what it's like to need somebody to pray for them. But what is it that is keeping you receiving the trash of this world? What is it that appetite in you that keeps drawing what you know God doesn't want in your life? If you'll get serious with God, I don't think one trip at an altar, and God get me wrong, God can. I don't even think that the right evangelist laying hands on you, and I know God can. I know he can. I know he can. But that's not what I'm saying here today. I'm saying who's willing to do business with God over the trash in their life until it's no longer there. That's what I'm saying. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. And that's not just that word rich. That's not just money. It's just like sex. And for you young people, stick your fingers in your ears if your mom and dad won't let you hear the word sex. Sex between one man and one woman that is married has no trash whatsoever in it. It is the blessed of the Lord. It is precious. And there is peace and righteousness and joy that clings to that. But any sex outside of the marriage between one man and one woman, any sex outside of that is trash. I could go through 100 things. I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you, whatever is of God is blessed, and it adds no sorrow with it. It doesn't take your peace. It doesn't take your joy. It doesn't take your righteousness. The Apostle John in the 5th chapter of his first epistle says, all unrighteousness is sin. That's what he said. You want to know what sin is? All unrighteousness. I know this is not popular. I get that. I expected people to not be real happy about this. But you can get happy with me because I'm not the one you got to deal with. You're not going to be standing in front of me when you hang on to your trash. You ain't got to worry about me. I'm moving on. I'm not, unless God wants me to preach about trash next week. I ain't going to talk about it no more. I'll be talking about something else next Sunday morning. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, until you're willing to do something, you're going to have a hard time getting rid of this one. Let's stand to our feet. I'm just asking you, what is the trash in your life? And I'm not saying it's going to send you to hell. I'm not saying that. I think we're talking about two separate things here. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he talks about a man that has got junk in his life. And he said, he will be saved. That's what he said. He said, but he will be saved as if by fire. In other words, he will go through the fire of God, and all the trash on his life will be burned off. And when he gets to heaven, he has no reward. And I know people, that's what they say. I just want to get to heaven. I just want to make it. I don't care if I got any reward or not. Well, eternity is a really, really long time to think about what you could have had. And people say, I just don't think that's the way it's going to be. And you may be right. I don't know. I've never been there. But I know there's reward in heaven over people that are willing to put the trash out and become the honorable vessel that God desires them to be, and obey God in what he tells them to do. And God uses them to his glory. There will be reward in that. There'll be no reward for being vessels receiving the trash of this world. There ain't no reward for trash. I'm not saying you're trash. I'm just saying you're taking it in. You were made for more than trash. Father, I've tried to do what you told me to do. And I pray in the name of Jesus that people will get serious with you about these things, including myself, God. Lord, you know my heart in this. I pray, God, for America, and I pray, God, that you root corruption out of America. And my prayer is always this: start with me first. I want to be a vessel, God, of honor, a vessel that you can use. And so I pray for me first. I pray, God, do in me what only you can do. I pray that every bit of trash that I've picked up in these 60 years of life, that whatever it takes, whether it's a month or 2 months or 3 months, 3 years, whatever it takes, God, 3 seconds or 3 days, that I stay before you until every trace of it is gone. And that you have made me a vessel of honor. That you can use however you want, whenever you want, in any way you desire. I pray that over me, God. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for anyone that desires to make that their prayer. Lord, I'm not forcing this on anyone, but I pray for anyone that would say, yes, Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. God, if I've got to weep, if I have to mourn, if I have to lament, God, if my laughter has to be turned to mourning and my joy to gloom, in order to come out from under this thing, I am willing, God, because I'm ready to walk away from this thing that has plagued me. Maybe some of you are dealing with stuff that you've dealt with since you were kids or teenagers, and it's just been a nightmare for you. I pray for that person, God, that you would set them free in Jesus' name. I curse every assignment from hell, God, from people that want to be free. God, I am not trying to overstep anybody's will in this. I'm not trying to invade anyone's territory, God. But Lord, I'm praying for people that right now, in their heart of hearts, they know exactly what you're talking about. They know what you've addressed this morning, God. And I pray for them in the name of Jesus, that that thing be broken off of their lives, God. That the power of the Holy Spirit overshadow them and impregnate them anew and afresh with the things of God. Father, that your fruit begin to flow from their lives. That they begin to manifest the glory of God in the earth, Father, that the trash from this world loses every bit of its grip, God, that the prison cell is open, that the chains are broken, that they walk out anew and afresh. They walk out, God, just as they did on that day they were born again. I love what David Hogan says. He said, I've been born again, again. Lord, a new beginning, a new beginning, a new beginning in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you need prayer, whether for sickness or something like that, I want the prayer team to come. If anybody needs prayer, just come. We will pray with you all. If you need anything, I'm telling you, if you need help in your marriage, if you need help in a relationship, if there's just something going on you need special prayer for, as the music begins to play, just come. And I want to ask the prayer team to come and to pray for these people. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.